This is episode 319, dated Monday, December 18th, 2023.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Welcome once again to Sports Roundtable. My name is Bob Branco. Glad to be here. I want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and a very happy and blessed New Year. Before we continue, let me just mention that this is episode 319, dated Monday, December 18th, 2023. And we have with us Peter Alchul.
Yes, welcome from Coos Bay, Oregon, where we're supposed to get a mini river atmosphere the next couple of days. So only an inch of rain rather than five. We're doing fine. By the way, Bob, I think we're not going to have a show next week.
We are not having a show next week. So we will resume again on the first of the year. So
we will celebrate our holidays and be back for the new year.
All right. Thank you very much. By the way, we've had 5 inches of rain today, Peter. Speaking of 5 inches.
I heard.
We had a very powerful wind and rainstorm, and some places got up to 5 or 6 inches here in New England. All right. Reverend Michael Garrett, welcome.
Yes, and welcome to our sorry about your rain out there, Bob, but it's sunny and 71 degrees here in Missouri City, Texas.
Enjoy it, Mike. Don Wardlow.
Hey there. From Jersey, we had a couple inches of rain here, but the rain pushed on out of here, and now it'll just be pretty cold probably by Christmas. We're not expecting a white Christmas.
You didn't get the storm?
Well, I say we had a couple inches of rain. That's enough.
It's a lot less than what we had, but anyhow, Luther King should be with us shortly.
Oh, he's here.
He is. Oh, hi, Luther.
Hi, guys. Sorry, I had to unmute.
That's quite all right. Okay, so before we continue, let me express.
Don't feel bad on the weather. It's 38 here.
I'd rather have Mike's weather right now anyway.
No kidding. I think most of us would.
Okay, so let me thank Raymond Gay, our executive producer, for what he does for Sports Roundtable. Also, Tom and Lynn from Rosie's Place chat line. Thank you for posting our shows on Greeting Door 14 on that chat line. Jacqueline Sylvia from JS Web Solutions. Thank you very, very much for what you do, which is archive our shows on my website. In order for you to find the archives, just go to www.brancoevents.com and click on Sports Roundtable Podcasts.
Merci, Jackie.
Thank you.
I'm saving the media outlets for last because I want to welcome a brand new media outlet that's going to air our show twice a week.
Hey.
So first of all, thank you to all the media outlets, but especially Artist First. I want to thank Scott, who represents that outfit. He's going to air our show twice a week. To know more about Artist First, just go to their website, which is artistfirst.com. Find out all that you need to know about what they do. Thank you very much, Scott, and welcome to the Sports Roundtable family. And of course, let me also acknowledge Trish because she is our host for today. Trish, thanks for taking the time to be with us and for helping us out. We have a special guest on today, and I would like to welcome back once again, Pete Weber. He is the voice of the Nashville Predators hockey team. Pete, it's a real pleasure as always. How you doing?
I appreciate the invitation. Thank you very much. And going into the holidays, I believe that the Predators are operating at a far higher level than they were when last I was with you folks. And that has been very pleasing, not only to the fans, but to me as well.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm very happy about the Predators. I think that they are going to be contenders. I'm not sure how far they will go this season. But let me ask the first question, Pete. It's almost Christmas. Hockey is almost 2.5 months old now.
Yeah.
What is your objective opinion about the state of hockey at the moment, the landscape of what's going on in the NHL?
I don't think it's ever been better, to be honest. And I've been in the league since 1978. And I have seen some great lows, some very high highs. But I think right now, overall, this is probably as super competitive a league as there is. Yes, there have been, what, four coaches fired as of today, with the Ottawa Senators firing coach DJ King.
They don't waste their time.
No, I've had some of my friends from Ottawa say they wasted a couple of weeks there, that it could have been done earlier. And I don't want to see anybody lose their jobs, but that's just the way things are right now. But when we look at the standings in the league, virtually, I'm going to say 90% of the teams have a hope, and not just a hope in hell, but a hope of making it to the playoff field. So, and when 2/3 of the teams essentially will make it, there are some teams that are falling by the way. And among them right now are the team that fired their coach earlier today, the Ottawa Senators. But it's an incredible waste in the Western Conference, the Central Division, in which the Predators reside. I can't believe how tight everything is. You just go from day to day and realize that you have to go online and see what the standings are at that particular point in time.
Nashville's going 12-3 in their last 15.
Yeah.
Where did you think the turn happened? Because it seems like to me, when Soros and Lankinen figured it out, and then a couple of other things, you know, happened with this team, it's clicked for the time being, but how long do you think it will stay there?
So you're asking me the great question, Luther, of sustainability. And here's what we're coming down to. And I don't know that it was Saros and Lankinen figuring things out in goal. I think it was the guys playing in front of them who had to figure some things out. And because UC Saros has been, I think, fantastic year on out, with the possible exception of one or two games.
Sure.
But he should have been arrested after the game against Philadelphia the night for having stolen 2 points in that game.
Exactly.
Because that's the sort of thing he seems to do on a fairly regular basis. So, yeah, goaltenders being arrested by the local constabulary, that should happen more frequently, I think.
Yeah, more 211 should be definitely not in progress.
So I'm curious. I just heard about the Ottawa job when you told me the firing. It seems to me, especially in hockey, but it's in basketball, that the same teams for the past 5 years have been dreadful and haven't shown a whole lot of improvement. Am I wrong about that when it comes to hockey? Because if I'm right about it, why is that happening?
Well, the dreadful team of most dread was the Arizona Coyotes.
That's true too. Yeah,
they currently stand eighth in the Western Conference. They are in a playoff spot as we speak right now. The Chicago Blackhawks have been bad the last couple of years, but they were bad enough to win the draft lottery and to get Connor Bedard. And that is a huge help. One team that started out absolutely dreadful, the San Jose Sharks, they gave up 10 goals in back-to-back games, and yet they have come back to life. They've been something to watch as well, and they've not fired any coaches or anybody else. The Edmonton Oilers did fire their coach earlier in the year, and I think that was more a factor of great expectations going in off what they had done a year ago. So I don't think it's the same teams that are always awful. It might seem that way as we read the headlines, but right now in the East, three teams that many of us in this league thought were going to be threats this year have not bounced up. That's Ottawa with the new coach now, Columbus Blue Jackets, and my old Buffalo Sabres.
Are the Coyotes still playing in that, I don't know if it was a high school arena, a college arena.
It's a college arena.
Yeah, I think they still are.
Yeah, it's Phoenix, a great name too. It's
the Wiley Coyotes.
Yeah. I mean, and Don Wardlow, I think you would know that would be a great opportunity for Mike Vec to be the promoter.
Definitely.
Yeah, you know it.
I mean, come on. Any team that's playing on the Arizona State campus and the arena's name's Mullet? Yo, that's straight promotion right there without even trying.
At least it's not the Colt 45s.
Oh, that was a great name, especially for its time for the
until they changed it to the Astros.
Yeah, but they used to have a gun right there on their hat.
Exactly. Yes, they did.
And they didn't call the team the Colts either. They called them the 45s on these sure old did broadcasts.
Well, I think that right was a promotional thing too with the malt liquor.
Yes. Maybe. I don't know. But
I think it was too. That's
what makes sense.
But the gun on their hat certainly wouldn't happen in 2023.
No.
It certainly would not.
Hey, Pete, I know you and I are Cardinal fans, so I got to get your thoughts on this. Thoughts on what the Cardinals gave to the offseason with their starters, plus a couple of guys they picked up from the Red Sox in the relief starters. And speaking of, Bob, can you give me kind of a thumbnail sketch on those two kids that the Cardinals picked up for Tyler O'Neill? Like, can you give me
an idea? Let's see. They were Robinson, minor leaguers. Victor Santos had some promise. I was hoping he would come up through the Red Sox ranks, eventually be the closer. I don't think it's going to happen, obviously, now that he's gone. The other guy wasn't it Nick Robertson?
Yeah, it was Robertson.
He was the gentleman that we picked up from the Dodgers at the trade deadline last summer. He has a little bit of promise. These guys are okay, Luther. They're not anything really to write home about, I don't think.
As long as they don't turn into Randy Arozarena.
Oh, Jesus, no.
God, those are kicking themselves about that one.
Man, yeah. That was the trade, I think, that killed, that was like, why?
Cause I mean, but you know Tampa Bay, Luther, you know Tampa Bay's gonna trade Arozarena eventually. That's their pattern. Well, yeah,
Look at what they did over the weekend. They just traded Tyler Glasnow after he signed his extension for another 5 years.
They have no choice. Nobody comes to their games. And
they're playing at a dome.
They're talking new stadium, but it'll still be in St. Pete. And from what I've heard, as long as they're in St. Pete, they're not going to get people.
Agreed, Don. Agreed.
Like, why did they even decide to put a team in St. Pete when they knew going well they weren't going to draw anything, Pete?
Vince Namoli had a lot of money. He was the initial investor in that team. And they were trying to please him. There was a great book written several years ago about the baseball moving into the Tampa Bay and into, we should say, St. Petersburg. And Vince had a love-hate relationship with the media. He had the newspapers distributed in boxes. Remember newspapers, folks?
Yes.
Newspapers distributed in boxes around the ballpark. And then one day they wrote something he didn't like, and he ordered all the boxes removed, even though they had paid for their spaces.
Oh, man. So, doesn't that remind me of another owner that's kind of one of the kings of impatience who's no longer here in the National Football League and who's still residing with the Carolina Panthers, who's also impatient. Sounds familiar.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Hey, Pete, I saw a story a couple of weeks ago about the Chicago Blackhawk guy who did something and was unceremoniously kicked off the team.
Yeah.
And it's been sort of a quiet story. Nobody quite knows what happened or why he was removed. Have you heard anything new about that?
Nothing new, but there were so many rumors in the immediate aftermath of that move, all of which seemed like they qualified the team to be reported on by TMZ or by some other.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Some other entity.
Was it a player or a coach? Or
I think it was a player.
Corey Perry. It was a player. And a pretty good player at that.
Yeah.
Who has won Stanley Cups before. But yeah, Corey Perry was the guy who was put on waivers to terminate his contract. And the Players Association, yes, they have filed an action on that, but I haven't heard of anything happening.
How good is this Vegas Golden Knight team from the Stanley Cup team that won it all last year? It seems like they've gotten better.
I think that's probably a pretty fair assumption right there. And they've got a pretty good matchup coming up next. They got the Carolina Hurricanes coming into town
for their
next game. And this has been the Vegas Golden Knights, I think, shocked everybody by winning the cup with a goaltender people claimed they had never heard of. And yet they've done pretty darn well.
It's their coach. And I'm it's a coach that, you know, I'm a Bruins fan, Pete.
Yes.
So you know how I feel about Bruce Cassidy. He should never have left. No offense to Montgomery. Montgomery almost broke a lot of records last year. In fact, he did break the record for the most wins. But Cassidy was really good here. So, I mean, Don Sweeney must be saying to himself, why did I bother getting rid of Cassidy? He won a cup somewhere else when he could have won it here. Of course, we'll never know.
Right. That's all the hypotheticals. That's all that stuff you have to possibly deal with when you do make a coaching move. You never truly know until things play out. And then even then you don't know because you don't know what the chemistry would have been had they kept him on.
Speaking of coaching moves, when in the early part of the season, where did it go sideways with Craig Berube with the St. Louis Blues coming off a championship run in 2019?
Luther, I don't know that it did. I don't know that it really did go sideways with him. I think there's just a battle there between general manager and coach, and the general manager's in position to come up with the victory.
Turnover of players.
Yep. And, you know, Petrangelo, for example, going elsewhere. But the Predators are more than happy to accept Ryan O'Reilly off that St. Louis Blues Cup team.
He has been nothing short of a godsend on that top line.
Especially the other night when he broke his skate blade and he had to crawl all the way back from the other team's zone to the team's bench in the second period.
And then he got the replacement blade, and then the blade, from what I heard, the blade was still on the ice.
Yes.
Like that's,
you know, thinking about that coaching move, if I heard you right, they won the cup in 2019. I remember that.
Yeah. Four years ago.
St. Louis at the time. And they, I was so sure the Bruins were going to win that Stanley Cup. And I caused all kinds of controversy among Missourians I was living in. And then I was wrong, much to my delight, actually. but, you know, I don't know how it is in hockey so much, but in other sports, being a coach for more than 3 or 4 years for the same team is kind of unusual.
Yeah.
It doesn't strike me as unusual that he was let go, because coaches wear out their welcome after 3 or 4 years. It's not just a coaching issue. It's most leaders in most organizations.
It's at the top.
Either move up or move out.
Yeah. Ask John Madden. Madden is the one who said he retired, not so much because he was afraid of flying. Of course, that was part and parcel of it, but the fact that he felt that after 10 years, he was no longer being heard by everybody in the Raiders room. And of course, the Raiders room has moved from city to city to city since his leaving the franchise. But I think I truly believe in that. Now, sometimes there are coaches who have what I call the Billy Martin effect.
Right.
And I don't mean they get fired 5 times in a short order, but they lose their team after an initial surge. And that oftentimes is what happens, no matter the sport. So I think that Billy Martin was a classic example of that. Maybe John Tortorella is too, because he's having a very positive effect right now in Philadelphia.
Same thing with Peter Laviolette with the Rangers.
And as loud as John Madden's mouth was, I don't see how anybody could ever not hear him if he wanted to be heard.
Oh, if you want to have fun, just go on YouTube and look up the old light beer from Miller commercials. And he, and I'd have to say Bob Uecker stood out the most.
John Madden?
I didn't know he did beer commercials. Oh, yes.
But now, Billy Martin, now, he didn't have a big, booming, sonorous voice. But boy, he could manage.
Oh. Yes, he could. He managed my high school buddy, Jimmy Sundberg, when he came up to the big leagues with the Texas Rangers.
Man Whitey Herzog said would be in a star for 15 years, and darn if he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't Whitey Herzog and Jeff Buck did a Busch beer commercial, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, you could find that. I just saw that the other day on YouTube.
Man, that was
I'm encouraging stuff. Everybody to go to YouTube right now, am I not?
No, hey, Pete, look.
Michael, I think you want to say something.
Go ahead. Sorry, Mike.
I was just going to ask Pete, do you think that Matt, and I don't know if we've talked about this, but we've probably mentioned this before, but the owners of these teams get impatient because they have high expectations of coaches and managers. They really have high expectations. They spend a lot of money, but I believe they still want to win.
Sure.
When they don't get the results, those seats get real hot, and some managers don't last very long.
Right. And I think it's mostly a result of that. The investment they put into it financially, and then their expectations not being met immediately. Andlauer bought the, Ottawa Senators, believe it or not, for just about $1 billion even U.S.
Wow.
And he has been very, very patient for the first month or so, but now it got to the point where he could afford that patience in his mind anyway, no more. So they made the move today.
Look at the Carolina Panthers and what they're dealing with right now. Look at what David Tepper's done with the Panthers plus his Charlotte SC soccer team. He's gone through five coaches in less than two or three years.
He's going to save money. He's got to save money, Luther, by not having nameplates produced for head coach on the desk.
But at some point, don't you just need to see what they, you know, if you, at some point, don't you need to see what they can actually do before you actually, you know, get an itchy trigger finger to make a move?
I think that that would be way too logical, Luther. We're talking pro sports.
Thank you. and of course, everybody with their gold encrusted toilet seats and their super yachts. They have to pay on those somehow.
Yes, they do.
Well, I often wonder, this isn't happening with hockey, but I wonder if, Michael, this is directed somewhat at you, if the Cowboys might have won a Super Bowl if it hadn't been for the owners in
Jerry Jones sometimes. Meddling. Johnson.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think they could have gotten two more.
My theory is they could have been two more at least.
I always go back to say, I love Herschel Walker.
but look at, he
gave us three Super Bowls.
Yes, he did.
And the fleece job they did on the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, they fleeced them from here all the way to just pick wherever you want, from here to Las Vegas and went to the bank and didn't even shed a tear.
No, but it was no hypnosis or it was no gun to the head of the Minnesota Vikings.
Nope.
They were glad to make the deal.
Minnesota just jumped right out and said, yes, please. Here's all of it.
But back to your point though, Jerry cost us at least two or three more.
Exactly. With his meddling. Look at the Washington Commanders / football team / Redskins, whatever you want to call them. Daniel Snyder put them in the toilet, and they're still recovering.
And I think I'm drawing a blank. There's another owner I was thinking about that is causing all kinds of trouble. But you know, the owner of the Knicks again.
Jimmy Dolan.
Now Rangers, Rangers are a different matter. The Rangers seem to be doing better with the Rangers than the Knicks. I don't know why that is.
Because he doesn't meddle with Glenn Sather. He doesn't meddle with him.
Yeah.
And I think Glenn Sather told James Dolan, look, here's what we're doing. You don't need to meddle in anything. So just go jump in a lake somewhere and we've got it from here.
You hired me to do this. Let me do this.
Exactly. As Bill Parcells said one time to, what was it? The Jets or whoever the Giants is like, you're asking me to pick the players. You think I should cook the dinner and buy the groceries too? Well, at least some of them. Or don't.
Now that we're back talking about the East Coast, now has hockey finally understood that, okay, we're over that stupid, what do they call it? Winter classic, play outdoors, get frostbite. Are we all done with that?
No, we got Seattle coming up with Vegas on January 1st of this year.
Where are they going to play that?
At the Mariners home field.
Says at T-Mobile Park.
Is it even cold enough in Seattle to get ice?
It was when I lived there doing the Sonics years and years ago, but we'll see now.
Hey, PW, no,
I'm surprised because I know Seattle isn't Oregon, but it couldn't happen here. I can tell you that where I am.
Too many atmospheric rivers.
Yeah.
Well, but also it's a lot warmer here than, you know, it gets below freezing maybe, you know, five times a year here or maybe 10. So.
Hey, Pete, did you ever work with Kevin Calabro on the Sonics games? Or was he?
I did not work with him. No, I worked with a guy named Jim Marsh, who passed away a few years ago. Jim had been a basketball player at USC and had been in the NBA. And he was one of those guys that was called upon one time when a player who was about to shoot free throws is injured and is unable to continue. The other team's coach can pick out who shoots the free throws. And Jim got picked several times to do that. Giving you some idea about his ability at the foul stripe.
Well done.
So, do we have raised hands?
Not at the moment.
Feel free to interrupt us, Rich, when that happens.
Yeah.
When were you with Seattle, Pete?
81, 82. The first year of what they called the Sonic Super Channel, which even though we had ESPN satellite delivered by that point at CNN, our ownership decided to send the games around the state on a microwave jump. So there were a lot of trucks out there relaying my broadcast across Washington State.
The reason I ask is, did Bill Campbell still come in with Philly, or were they done with him by then?
No, Bill was still around. Bill was still around.
Oh, man, what a great voice that guy had.
And I knew him from my time prior to the Sonics, when I would every now and then fill in with Chick Hearn on the Lakers.
The late, great Chick Hearn.
There's another name. Wow.
And I, what was it? It was Bob Miller, Chick Hearn, and Vince Scully. I think I remember seeing part of it.
And then a guy, there were some other guys going around too. There was Dick Enberg on the Angels.
Oh, yes.
Good as they make them.
And UCLA, wasn't he?
Yes. Matter of fact, he was the voice of TBS Sports when Eddie Einhorn got that going and syndicated college basketball's game of the week in the late '70s and the mid-to-late '70s and early '80s.
And I think Kurt Gowdy was on NBC at that time, right?
Yes, he was.
And you know, they'll never say this about Chick Hearn, but he could call a boxing match, and he did.
Yes.
I remember seeing on YouTube when he called a soccer match.
Living where I remember lived, him. I could never hear him do basketball. I couldn't hear the Lakers.
Yeah.
But
Los Angeles Aztecs of the old North American Soccer League.
There was a cable channel though called Sports Channel, and it would pick up fight broadcasts from Prime Network or Prime Ticket.
Prime Network,
And they had Chick Hearn from the Fabulous Forum in Inglewood.
The Fabulous Forum in Inglewood.
Which is still with us. It's just been reconstructed by Madison Square Garden and is used now as a concert venue. And then about a block or so away, where also SoFi Stadium is located, is going to be the brand new building for my old Buffalo Braves, now the Los Angeles Clippers.
I wondered about that new arena where because I remember they were talking about the Clippers getting an arena and not having to share with the Lakers.
Yes.
At the crypt or whatever they call it now.
Crypto.com. Yeah.
Thank God. About time. They needed their own arena since the San Diego Sports Arena.
Well, yes, they did. Clippers, as badly as they were playing for a while, and we were all guffawing because of their.
They've done pretty well.
They're playing pretty well these days.
They're better.
Yeah, they are.
After getting rid of Donald Sterling.
Guess who hit their 25,000th point?
I think that would be James Harden.
While wearing a Clippers uniform.
Yeah. I think that would be Sir James the Beard Harden, Arizona State claim to fame.
We do have a hand.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Go ahead.
Diane, go ahead.
Diane, go right ahead.
Hey, Diane, what's going on? Welcome.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to ask Pete. Cause I grew up in Western New York, and I wondered what his connection was with the Buffalo Braves. Cause I certainly remember them. I didn't follow them a lot, but my brother did. And, you know, so I just wondered about that.
I covered them for WEBR radio their last 2 years.
They're the Clippers now.
Yeah. I was at the meeting in Chicago when the franchise was traded. It was really traded for the Boston Celtics, and it's the Celtics franchise that moved out west. And I was around that team on a fairly regular basis. A friend of mine just published a book on the Buffalo Braves again, and that was a period of time. Well, let's just put it this way. I spent most of late yesterday afternoon making sure the Buffalo Bills secured their win.
So that was
Jerry Jones's boy.
31-10. It wasn't even close.
Were you in Buffalo then? Is that where you come from, or?
I was there. I was there for 20 years. I was there from 76 to 78 and then moved here in 1998 to Nashville.
Yeah, my brother's still, I think he's still upset about something happened to where the Braves, someone bought them and then immediately moved them out of Buffalo.
John Y. Brown Jr., who was the owner of the Kentucky Colonels of the ABA and who also stuck the franchise for a while with the contract of one William Bird Averett and had them stuck on the bench there for Buffalo.
Huh. And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't he like the second in command behind Red Auerbach at the Celtics at the time, and then he basically left the Celtics and basically bought the Buffalo Braves to move them to San Diego?
No, he had the Braves before he ever got involved in the Celtics. The the Braves-Celtics swap in July of 78 is where all of that began to happen. And that's how Tiny Archibald, who had been with the Braves, became a Celtic.
Big steal.
Yeah, it was that.
Speaking of Buffalo, what are your thoughts on Chris Brown filling in for the Murph? And is the Murph coming back to the booth, or is this going to be Chris Brown's show moving forward?
Murph will be coming back. I saw him this summer. He had a stroke just about this time a year ago. And the Bills told him, when you are ready, the door to the booth is open to you for your return. And I don't think he's that far away right yet.
Awesome. Because I remember when he took over for the late Van Miller, who you worked with, with Mark Stout and Greg Brown. And, of course, they still have the classic radio calls of the Bills in the epic comeback of 1992.
That was not a bad day.
Who called the Frank Reich game?
That was Van Miller. Van Miller with Mark Stout and Greg Brown. They did, and if I'm not mistaken, they didn't even have a sideline guy, because I think that was it.
There was three guys in the booth, no sideline guy. Correct.
The only part of that that exists that I know of is the second half. What madness that game was!
I caught. The
I have it all. I have it all on hard drive right here.
Matter of fact, they did the highlights. And then they did the whole second half, and I'm like, my God, the commercials back then, the sound quality when it was all AM. Man, that was some stuff.
That was even before Fox Sports had been established.
Yes, sir. And I don't think Fox Sports was established until, what, 94?
94, correct.
That's what I thought.
It was just the anniversary 2 days ago.
Wasn't that the same channel that started with the lit up puck where you could actually see it, even though it was an epic disaster?
Actually, the Fox Track puck was a huge investment by Fox getting into sports. It cost them about $12 million to build the truck, and there was only one truck that was equipped to give you the glowing puck, and they did four games each Sunday. So they had to determine which game was going to get that. And it made its debut with the 95 All-Star Game in Boston, or 96 All-Star Game in Boston. And in some buildings, we are so far up and so far back, it's a help to the broadcasters.
When you're watching it on TV, it feels like another nightmare because you can't really see it unless you have a big screen or you could actually see it.
Correct.
Pete, I've been thinking about, when I heard you're coming back on the show, I've been thinking about the NBA mid or early season playoff that the Lakers won.
Oh, the tournament.
And I'm really curious to know what your take on that is, and might the NHL do something like that in the future?
Well, according to Commissioner Gary Bettman, he's not interested in it. And good. I'm happy that he is not, because we already have a tournament going on. It's called the regular season.
Yep.
And that is good enough to try to qualify yourself for postseason play. So I'm hoping that does not happen in the NHL. Unless Adam Silver somehow ends up taking over for Gary Bettman, I don't think it's going to.
Why do you think, in your professional opinion, Pete, did Adam Silver decide to do it for the NBA?
He obviously felt they needed something else, something to get people excited. Realizing that you're talking about an 82-game schedule, you gotta do something outside the box. And I think this in-season tournament definitely is that. And I'll tell you what really is outside the box. The Lakers having a banner-raising ceremony to celebrate winning it.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Look, you know what? You probably know this better than me. The late, God rest his soul, the late great David Stern wouldn't even thought of any gimmick like that.
No.
Because it was an 82-game regular season. If you qualify for the postseason tournament, you're there. And if you get hot at the right time, you can win it all.
This is why you play the season, to earn that spot.
I don't get, because everybody qualifies in both basketball and hockey.
Not necessarily.
Out of 30 teams in basketball make it.
That's everybody for my money.
You only have like 16 for the regular season.
16 in hockey make it.
Yep. And that's 1 through 8.
you have to be so brutal to not make it. You got to be the 62 Mets of basketball and hockey to not make it.
Well, it's not quite as dramatic as that, but you do need to be in the bottom 40% or 30, whatever.
Yeah, it is, like 11 through 14. So basically,
we've had people on this program say they don't start with basketball or hockey till Christmas at least.
A week from today.
Well, that's me. I plead guilty. I don't follow.
A week from today, when we're all enjoying our families, we'll be watching a bouncing ball plus the conclusion the day before that of a college basketball tournament, the Diamond Head Classic.
Now, where I'm invested is women's basketball at the college level.
Definitely.
And I know I hear a lot of stuff about how that regular season is cheapened because of all the college tournaments, but I still listen to my Huskies from game one.
So do I.
What's now early November. I remember when game one was after Thanksgiving, but now game one in early November until I hope game whatever.
You get all the way to the first weekend.
On my birthday, the Final Four is on my next birthday. I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
So in college basketball, though, it's like preseason because they get to work out who sometimes they play the higher ranked teams or lower ranked. Some play the lower ranked team until they get to conference play. So that's and conference play starts.
For the ladies, it starts tonight. Butler.
Late December, early January. But since a long preseason.
I guess that's my issue with hockey, Pete. I'm curious your take again.
Yeah.
I get that you're not in favor of this in-season playoff, and I'm not sure I am either. But speaking for me, and we tied this conversation last time you were here, I am not a true NHL fan in the sense that I don't really start engaging with hockey until really the All-Star break in mid-January. It's just too long a season with everything else for my warped brain, until around that time. And I'm just wondering, as you said, the NBA folks believed that having an in-season playoff might, it sparks some interest among the fans. And I'm just curious, you don't think it's the trade-off is worth it? I guess I'm sort of asking you to talk more about this in-season playoff idea.
Exactly. I don't think it's worth it at all. I don't think and talking with some of our players, they just raise their eyebrows in wonderment that the NBA is doing this. They just like the idea that they're playing hard in the regular season and trying to set themselves up for the NHL's postseason, which comes in mid-April, right around income tax filing day. So there's no question it's a long season. But aren't all the seasons excruciatingly long? As a matter of fact, I'm still trying to figure out when the Major League Soccer season starts and ends.
It's February to November.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Too many months. That. And how do you see, and I'm like, how do we sandwich all these games, all these breaks thrown in? Cause it's like, you have to cram three or four games in at once.
Yeah.
Almost a week.
But here's what we have coming up in a week, folks. We have a quintuple header on ESPN ABC for the NBA. Bucks and Knicks, Warriors and Nuggets, mm-hmm. Celtics and Lakers, mm-hmm. 76ers and the Heat, and Dallas and Phoenix.
Boom.
And three NFL games.
Pretty good mashups.
Yep, and three NFL games.
Thankfully,
Well, right, in the NFL games, you got Baltimore and San Francisco,
That's the game I'm looking forward to, Christmas night. Yes. Yep. Thank you.
Yes.
There's a lot of sports.
A lot.
On one level kind of surprises me because, Christmas is supposed to be family and.
Yeah. Please.
Who has a chance to watch all this stuff?
What was created first? Holidays or sports?
Oh, gee. I don't know.
Good question. That's the chicken and the egg conundrum.
Well, look at Thanksgiving. You've got three games going on Thanksgiving now.
Right.
And look, the NFL did the first ever Black Friday game. So, I mean, what's next? The first Hanukkah game?
I'm waiting for Monday afternoon football, to tell you the truth.
We had Tuesday, so why not?
Yeah.
Oh, last Monday night, they had two games.
They had two at the same time.
They're both great, by the way.
Yeah.
They're both great games.
Yeah. And I caught both of them. And I'm like, 7:15 simultaneous? Really? Come on now, really? Couldn't you have put one at like an hour? Like maybe, 6 o'clock? And then
I guess I find hockey really sort of interesting because I think we talked about this last time you're here, Pete. You know, there is less of a correlation between how well you do in the regular season in hockey than in other sports. You know, so, you know, to give an extreme example, what happened last year with the Bruins, you know, the best point total ever, and they got knocked out in the first round.
That was extreme.
I'm imagining this, but it seems to happen more in hockey than other sports.
Yes. You know, it's just another example of why it is of very little value to win the regular season championship. The President's Trophy, as it's handed out, I think it's now 21 of the last 25 President's Trophy winners were knocked out in the first round.
And what was the year that all the lower seeds in the, what was it?
I think that was 19. That's what paved the way for the Bruins to make the finals against the Blues.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the year where all the top four got knocked out.
I believe that was 19.
No, the year that the Hurricanes got to the final. Wasn't it like 06?
They won the title in 06, yes.
That's what I thought, because weren't they like a 7 or 8 seed? They're like one of the lowest seeds left.
Yeah.
Out of the East.
When the Predators went to the final, they were the last team to make the playoffs in 2017.
Yep.
The next year they won the President's Trophy and Winnipeg knocked them out.
Yep. And then they had the COVID bubble where they got bounced out by, what was it? Phoenix, by Arizona at that point.
Arizona,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
So again, I'm pushing you on this thing because I just find this so weird that the regular season for hockey seems the least, it's a long season and seems the least relevant. At least in basketball and football and in baseball, there is some benefit to you being the number one seed. You're likely to get pretty far, but not in hockey. And that just, for me, diminishes the value of the regular season.
Well, there was no value in baseball this last year. That's for sure.
That's true.
Nope.
So the sanctity of the regular season, I don't know that that's been maintained other than the clubs that finish just getting into the playoffs seem to have a better chance than those who labored hard as could be throughout the regular year, and their reward was an early exit.
Yeah, because if you're one of the last teams in, as you remember, Pete, when Nashville got in, they had played every day. They had to win every day. And I think for a lot of those teams, I mean, if I'm totally off base on this, but I think, you know, you would probably agree with this assessment. If you played every day and you know what you have to do to make the playoffs and so on and so forth, compared to like when Nashville was the President's Cup winner where they could rest some guys, I think they lose a mental edge a little bit because they feel like they can just, we can just coach. We don't have to worry about, you know, playing our guys every day because we don't have to worry about, we need 2 points here. We need somebody to not pick up any points.
Yes, we can do what the NBA is doing in terms of load management.
Yep. Except for the fact it's not load management, though.
No.
What do you think of load management, Pete?
I hate it when somebody, most of these fans are not season ticket holders. Mm-hmm. They buy tickets in advance hoping to see certain players. And then if they're injured, that's one matter. But if they're being held out simply to rest for a more important game later on, I think that's tragic.
It didn't happen when we were growing up, that's for sure.
Sure it didn't.
No, it did not. I have not grown up yet, just so you know. I got larger, but I haven't really grown up.
Look at starting pitching. I mean, how many complete games do you see nowadays with starting pitching in baseball?
Bob Gibsons out there, I'll tell you.
Oh no. The best you'll probably see a starter go is at least what, 6 2/3, maybe 7 if they keep their pitch count low.
Well, lucky if they go 5.
Yes, exactly. Right now, particularly with the Rays.
Ugh. And yet the Rays, I know the Rays haven't won a World Series, but they always seem to perform above what they should based on, you know, their contracts, et cetera. They always seem to do pretty well for themselves until they, you know, play the good teams in the playoffs, of course.
Yeah.
It just makes me wonder about the regular season. How can we make it more relevant?
I would have liked to have seen Blake Snell go a little bit longer.
Oh, definitely.
A few years ago.
Well, that's well documented.
I agree with that.
Had the quick hook because of analytics.
Yep.
And we talked about this on the show before, like analytics is ruining baseball. I think we can all agree that analytics has its place, but where do you place it?
I like to use them more in football, where we have proven, I think, that more teams should go for it on fourth down.
Speaking of going for it on fourth down, do you think?
Unless you're stealing.
Do you think who actually got fired as a Friday?
Finally.
Thank God. But maybe the stench will permeating too little too late. But back to the question I was going to ask. With the kickoff pretty much being obsolete almost.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe the NFL will actually be proactive on either a 4th and 15 or maybe the XFL permutation of the rule where they have the kickoff guys at 35 and the return guys at the 30 and they cannot move until the ball is kicked off and put in play where the returner has to return it?
So essentially Canadian Football League rules. I'd like to see that. Yeah.
I wonder at some point is
now
that
we might get more concussions out of that, but we'll see.
Is that
the reason they changed the rules in the first place? I mean,
right.
I've sort of resigned myself because I'd rather see more players be healthy for longer periods of time than to deal with something like the kickoff that invariably increases injuries. It seems to be pretty clear.
Let's do away with the blue tents.
Yeah, please. What does that accomplish? The blue tent? Really?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Pete, what do you think Gary Bettman will do in the future in regards to hockey rules and regulations? We hear about football and they're kind of softening up rules in football to protect players from injury. Do you foresee Beckman doing the same thing in hockey to protect his players?
I think he is going to go down on more the side of being more stringent on the Department of Player Safety and having them hand out more in the terms of penalties, suspensions, fines, etc. Now, part of that is limited by the collective bargaining agreement, but I think if they're harder on that, we're going to have the players are going to be a heck of a lot healthier.
What kinds
of things might he do?
Well, extend fines from like $2,000, which to some of these guys, that's like, losing your lunch money. If they were $5,000 to $10,000 or a suspension of 4 or 5 games where the suspension contains that section of your salary as well, I think that would have much more impact.
Have we heard any more news on the San Jose Sharks player who hit the Colorado Avalanche player? Because I know last night.
Yeah, not yet.
The official had given a major and they went to a review.
Yeah. I haven't heard yet.
But what do you think that's something that will, be a little bit more, pushed down on harder? Cause I know we had a player with the Minnesota Wild in the game against the Wild that had that same problem. And yes. They only gave him a 2-minute minor.
Kaprizov, yes, and he took care of that with the Predators defenseman. Yep. Those are things that I think where the biggest impact could be had in the league by the Department of Player Safety stepping up just a little bit more.
Remember Marty McSorley with his dirty play. And he's been out of the league. He's been out of the league since.
Yeah. Be careful, Luther. His brother lives here in Nashville.
Well, he won't find me. And just
So it would seem to me, I'm so curious about obviously you want to calibrate this stuff, but it seems to me that sort of financial fines are less effective than suspensions or increased penalties or something where it really impacts the team.
Yeah. Suspensions are a financial component.
That's true.
As well.
That's true. But you get what I'm saying. Rather than just finding people, I'm not sure that works so well. I think more, if you're really serious about this, you got to take more drastic actions, suspend games and stuff.
Here's a thought. I wonder, this is just my thought. Now I could be totally off base here, but I was hearing when Draymond Green got suspended indefinitely they were talking about they need to suspend Steve Kerr as well. I wonder if we're almost at that point of where player and coach for as long of amount of a suspension as said player.
Well, that assumes that the coach authorized the behavior.
Right. And that can be difficult to prove.
I don't see how Steve Kerr could be implicated. I mean, clearly.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, why are we rushing to this judgment when it's, when Draymond Green did it on his own volition.
There were circumstances, and maybe in hockey that I'm not familiar with, but football, where there was evidence that coaches encouraged dirty play, right?
Sure.
You know, that's a whole different conversation.
But it's rare, though.
It is rare. Absolutely. It is rare. But it happened.
Oh, wait, go to the bounty system that the New Orleans Saints had.
Yes.
Yeah, Greg Williams.
2 years ago.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, there's a fine line because you want to encourage people to play hard and smart, but not dirty. And sometimes that's a hard line to find, it seems
and
to me.
You can't nail the coach because any of these guys can go rogue.
Sure.
Yes. To it. And, you know, the players, you know, they're not the sharpest tools in the shed and they can just go crazy
go
and just nail somebody.
I wonder if we have any final hands where we close out this year, close out 2023's edition of Sports Roundtable for this year. Any final questions where we take a week off?
Trish, I don't think so, but Trish, what do you have for us?
No
hands.
Oh, where is everybody today?
Now, somebody brought up that there was some punching in the NBA. I didn't know the names. I still don't.
Well, Draymond Green got in a nice little brouhaha with somebody.
That's probably it. And
the guy from Phoenix. I can't pronounce his name.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I said to my friend, I mean, this is not new in basketball. What about Rudy Tomjanovich getting KO'd by Kermit Washington?
Ah, the punch.
I'll never forget that one. And I remember Kareem was being deposed about that incident when he was called upon to play the movie role of Roger Murdoch in the movie Airplane.
Excellent movie.
He needed that. He needed that little bit of respite from going through all that serious discussion in front of the judges.
Wow.
Well, I have a sense. I mean, it's so hard to find that out of balance between the razor's edge between being smart and tough and going over the line. And I am fairly confident. Of course, I have no evidence of this, that I think Trayvon has some mental issues involved.
Yeah, he's got some screws loose.
Yeah.
Definitely have that.
And that's, it doesn't excuse the behavior, but it does sort of change the way you view this stuff sometimes.
I think this is like his third or fourth time being off the floor. And this time it's an indefinite.
He clearly has issues. You know, there's no question. But the thing is, he'd be gone as a player if he weren't so effective when he's on.
If he were like the 9th, 10th, 11th, or 12th guy on the like 10th, 11th, or 12th guy on the roster, like on the thin line of making the team to go to the G League, he wouldn't have a job.
I mean, he cost the Warriors one championship, but he probably helped them with the other championships that they won in a major way. So
at some point, this has nothing to do with Bob Myers. It has nothing to do with Steve Kerr. At some point, this is a you problem.
I agree.
This is a nobody else problem.
I agree.
At some point, it's like, oh, I regret this. Hey, if you really truly regretted it, Draymond, you would have already done something about it.
Yeah.
You'd think this is a joke. Cause if it wasn't really a joke.
I mean, what about the baseball player? I can never keep it straight whether it was Milton Bradley or Phil Bradley. One of those.
It was
Bradley.
I think it was Milton Bradley.
Yeah. Phil was a good quarterback from my area of the country in Macomb, Illinois.
Yeah. Milton had an issue and the other guy, Albert Bell had an issue.
Who was the guy that basically hit Bernie the Brewer when he was going down the slide with a bat? Was it Simon?
Randall Simon.
Yeah.
It was the race around the warning track that he tripped up the young lady who was wearing one of the outfits there, the sausage races.
Yes. And I'm like, dude, how does that happen? Like, that's weird.
Yeah, it is. Well, folks, okay. I've got to adjourn because I have a holiday meal coming up here that I'm supposed to be part of.
Enjoy that.
I have enjoyed my time with you, and maybe we.
But we always enjoy having you.
Oh, we enjoy it.
Maybe we'll bring if we bring you back when the playoffs are about to start or around that time. That'll be awesome.
And hopefully the Predators will be in a. Hopefully the Predators will be out of the 7 hole and maybe get in the 6 hole.
You know the way things went in 2017, I'm happy with the 8 hole because it worked out very well.
Well, that too. But do you want to have to go to Las Vegas in the opening round?
Not particularly, no. My accountant wouldn't like it.
That's having a lot of faith in Vegas by making that statement.
Yes.
Well, I mean, Vegas is, I mean, they're just better. I mean, it just feels like they've gotten better, not worse.
Now, Colorado is doing well too.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, that would be an interesting Western Conference final if that happens.
Take care, folks. Thank you so much for
Thank you so much, Pete Weber, for being Christmas. With us on Sports Roundtable. Enjoy your holiday season.
Merry Christmas,
Thank you.
Pete.
You guys too. And so, you know, tonight after this dinner, I'm going to have to start my shopping.
Wow.
You have 1 week.
One week.
That's all you have.
The pressure's on.
Full court press.
There is online, so it's not so.
You're darn right there is.
Hey, and Pete, if all else fails, gift cards.
That's right.
Oh, there's no question.
Oh, then there are postal issues. Online is one thing, but there are postal issues with online.
That's and we don't want people going postal on us now, do we?
No.
Especially
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Pete.
And ladies.
Thank you, Pete.
Thank you.
Okay. We have about another minute or so. We're going to have to wrap it up. So any final thoughts?
It's been a great year.
Yeah, really.
It's been a great year. You know, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. You know, we've got the World Series. We had a great NBA playoffs last year.
It will be very interesting to see when 2023 wraps up, how these teams that are, you know, currently trailing, you know, cause you know, it's the standings in all these sports will change as we start 2024, either for good or for bad or every point in between.
And as we're having the show on the first, we're going to be having the Final Four college football playoffs at the exact same time.
Yeah, right at the Alabama, Michigan first game of the day.
That will be interesting. My money's on Alabama to win the whole thing.
I am too, cause I was telling a friend a couple of weeks ago that if Bama got in, I think they'd be the team to look out for because I don't think anybody wants to play this Alabama team right now because they've gotten better at the right time. They've gotten better.
Well, of course I'm biased. I'm a Longhorn.
Yeah, I thought so.
Look, I'm hearing that the predictor has Alabama, Texas for the Natty. And if that happens, sign me up. Even if it's Washington, sign me up. Cause I just don't know if Michigan's got enough. I mean, they may have enough, but I just don't know if they have faced a team like this with their schedule
folks,
plus their conference.
Well, folks, I do want to wrap this up. I want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and a healthy, happy, and prosperous New Year. We will not be doing a show on Christmas Day, but we will be doing one on New Year's Day. So until then, take care.
Merry Christmas. Happy New
Year. And go safe with God's abundant blessings. Thank you, everybody.